to my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Our gospel for today begins in Mark chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the world, the whole world, and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. I invite any children to come up. All right, come on up. You're going to sit way over there. Am I scary? No? Not too bad? Okay. It's good to keep your distance. That's right. All right. Thank you for coming up. Got a question for you. So this kind of goes off of our Bible verse today. Who am I? Do you know who I am? I'm the pastor. Okay? So what does a pastor's job consist of? What do you think? To talk about Jesus. Okay. Anything else? Teach people about Jesus. Show up for an hour or two on Sunday mornings, and that's about it. Anything else? Nothing else? Keep the church running. Yeah, sometimes I get to turn on the lights, fix the furnace, put salt out so that people don't slip. Do you suppose I do vacuuming? Did you almost slip outside? No, I don't do vacuum. What do you got? God loves the earth?
No, God
holds the earth. Yeah, yeah. So there's lots of different things that we do. And so in today's lesson, Jesus was asking people who they thought he was. And they gave him lots of different answers. But the one thing that I think is important for us to know is who Jesus calls us. And Jesus calls us, what do you suppose Jesus calls us? His disciples, that might be, yeah. That what? I can't hear you. Oh, okay. Oh, apostle, yeah, okay. Children of God, yeah. Jesus calls us his children. He calls us his beloved, his special ones. And so we know that Jesus loves us. And so always remember that, okay? Let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for coming into this world to forgive us our sins and to give us the hope of a good life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God's so good to me. God loves me so. God loves me so. God loves me so. God's so good to me.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So the question that Jesus asks right off the bat to his disciples in our text is, who do people say that I am? So Jesus and the disciples, they've been wandering around the area of Galilee and teaching and preaching and doing lots of different things. And he questions the disciples, what are they saying? What are they saying? And the first thing that they say is, John the Baptist. Now, if you were here 2 weeks ago and know the timeline of where we're at, that would be kind of a strange thing, in a part, because 2 weeks ago we heard that John the Baptist was, he met his demise, we'll put it politely today. So he wasn't around living anymore. And so if Jesus is John the Baptist, it means that John the Baptist has come back to life with a great power. I think that response would say that the people are looking for a revolutionary, because John the Baptist was criticizing Herod, criticizing the things that were going on there. And then the next statement is Elijah. And if we remember back to back before Christmas, we heard a story about Elijah and his battle that he had against contest that he had against the prophets of Baal, who were favored by Queen Jezebel. And they went to Mount Carmel, and Elijah won that battle. And again, we're looking at Elijah as almost a military type, as a revolutionary type leader. And then the next statement becomes that Jesus is a prophet. Again, if we remember back, most of the prophets were the people that were saying to the people, Israel, turn back to God. Change your hearts. Return back to God so that bad things don't happen. You're falling away from God. The prophets were more about the heart than an actual revolution against, or a military type revolution. And then after those three guesses, or those three things, then Peter boldly shouts out, you're the Messiah! And Jesus is like, yes, you got it right, Peter. And then Jesus starts telling what it means to be Messiah. Jesus says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. And when we get to Jerusalem, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, they're going to arrest me. They're going to put me on trial, and I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. And Peter's like, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus. Nope. That is not my vision of a Messiah. The Messiahs don't come and die. That's not a good idea. And Jesus rebukes him and says, you don't got it yet, Peter. You don't understand. And I'm going to jump over That next part about taking up your cross and carrying that, we'll come back to it. But the next scene is Jesus and Peter, James, and John heading up the mountain. Now, some have said that that mountain that they went up on for the transfiguration was the same mountain that Moses went up on to receive the Ten Commandments and the plans for the tabernacle. And Moses came down from that mountain shining because he was in the presence of God. They say that that's the same mountain that Elijah went up on after he had won the contest with the prophets of Baal and Queen Jezebel was chasing him. And on that mountain, Elijah meets God. And now disciples and Jesus are up on the mountain and Moses and Elijah show up and Peter again opens his mouth and kind of is impulsive. And it's like, hey, this is great, Jesus. Let's build three tents or spots to camp and we're going to live up here and this will be great. And then the cloud covers them. And we hear what God says about Jesus. He says, or about who God says Jesus is. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. See, the disciples, I think, didn't want to hear about what being a Messiah really meant. Cloud goes away. Everybody is gone except for the disciples and Jesus. Jesus isn't shining anymore, but they have seen his glory. They know that he is God, and Jesus says, don't tell anybody until I've risen. Because I don't want people to get messed up, basically, is I think what he's getting at. And we fast forward now. The disciples come down from the mountain, and they start serving people, but their mission goes from Galilee to Jerusalem. And when they get to Jerusalem, Jesus is headed towards the cross. And so from this point on, Jesus is heading to the cross. And the words that God had said at the transfiguration was, listen to him. And as I started thinking about the scenes at the cross, there are seven different words or sayings that Jesus says from the cross, and one of them is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it makes me think about that cross and what was the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross of Christ was for him to bring forgiveness to the world. See, on that cross, the sins of the world came upon Christ, and he died for those sins, so that they would be forgiven, so that those sins could be taken care of. But if we listen to Jesus, we also understand that that cross meant that he loved us. The actions that he did on that cross, the sacrificial love that he shows says, I love you and you are important to me. And that you are worthy of my love. But the cross also, when Jesus rises from the dead, brings us hope for a new life. Gives us that hope that life can be different than it is. So the cross brings us forgiveness, brings us an understanding of love, and it brings us hope. Hope that the world can be a different place and that our lives can be different in the forgiveness that we receive from Christ. So forgiveness, love, and hope. Now I want to go back to the section that I skipped. Jesus is talking to his disciples and to some of the crowd around him, and he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I think a lot of times in our lives we look at that verse and we say, man, I've got a cross to bear. Let me tell you about the hurts that I've had in my life. And that's a cross that I'm going to bear and I'm going to share and I'm going to tell you about. Let me tell you about the suffering that I've had in my life and that cross that I'm dragging around. Let me tell you about the people who have hurt me and the people who have sinned against me. And this cross that I carry around is a cross of resentment, a cross of maybe hate and anger. And I think we get that cross wrong, because that's a different cross than what Christ died on. See, when we are called to deny ourselves, I think what we're called to deny is to deny the hate that we have and the anger that we have, and to deny the pain that others have caused to us. That's what I think we're called to deny. And that cross that we're supposed to pick up is the same as Jesus' cross. That we pick up that cross of forgiveness. And we forgive those people who have hurt us. We forgive those situations and we let them go. And we show love to our neighbor. And we live in a place where there is new hope. See, because if that cross we're carrying around is a cross of hate, we're stuck in that cross. And that hate and pain and agony is all we're going to see. You take the next line. And it says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. I think so many times we feel that if we hang on to those things so tightly, those things that have hurt us, that that's what we need to do. But if we let them go, and sometimes we have to let them go daily, maybe even hourly, keep turning them over to Jesus. But if we let them go, then we can have that forgiveness. And we can have that life that brings an abundant life for us. We can have a life that has hope rather than a life that is stuck in the past. So as we look at that cross of Christ, let us embrace the forgiveness that comes from it. Let us embrace the love that he shows to us and that promise of hope, that promise of new life. And as we end today, Jesus was asking the world who the world thought he was. But the question that we have today is, who does Jesus say that we are? Who are we? We are his children. We are the sheep of his fold. We are his beloved. And he wants us to be forgiven, to know love, and to know that hope of new life that comes through him. Amen.